It's high noon.
Welcome to episode number 30 of Foul Play. That's Fantasy Overwatch League Play. I am Deathblow, joined as always by A. Smith. How you doing today, my friend? I'm noticing as I say this that it still says Volumel next to your name. So I'll fix that on the fly, but tell everybody how you're doing today.
Man, I'm good. Everything's good. The baby is due Friday, so I'm still here. May not be here the next two episodes. Sorry, but not sorry. But yeah, everything's been going good, man. Life is good. My sports teams did really well this weekend. I really can't complain about anything. But I did go 1-1 in the league, and I guess that's the one thing I can complain about in the pro leagues, because I lost to the highest, even though I had the second highest score in the league. It's the worst feeling when you just run against somebody that had three Boston players and you can just, you know, Buck Faustin. That's all I really care about.
I mean, you've got my vote already. It's easy to get when you just lead with Buck Faustin.
That's it, man. That's it. And you know, Boston just got me real hard that one this week, and I just slept. If I had been playing anybody else, I would have won. But hey, you know,
was it the raw scoring league then?
Yeah, it was the raw scoring league.
Oh, man, so the double five mappers.
Yeah, I had like 15, and the guy had 16. Nobody else had over 13. It was just so annoying.
Well, us champions over here go 2-0 in the expert leagues this week. Yeah, I won them both again. I'm basically just unstoppable. I lose when I don't want to stretch too hard to fill my rosters out during the short weeks. That seems to be about it with these expert leagues. I even defeated the evil, the Blevins, to take sole possession of first place in the Podcasters Showdown League. It was 962 to 829. He took a little bit of a gamble on Stryker, and it bit him hard, as San Francisco did not go to that particular well. But yeah, otherwise, cruising along. I'm still in second place in the Foul Play League. I think Ednar's still in first place there. So we've got somebody to try to take out. I think I play him not this coming week, but the week after. So I'll deal with that particular nuisance when I get to it here. All in due time. I can only beat him when I'm allowed to play against him, you know?
That's how the rules work. And I mean, unless you're the owner of the league and you can change the schedule on the fly.
Oh, you're totally right. I can just play against Ednar this week if I want.
You could.
All right.
I can almost guarantee you no one would notice.
Probably not notice. Well, Ednar probably would. I would guess he's paying pretty close attention. But shout outs to all the commissioners out there. I was joking. Don't do that ever.
Don't abuse
your powers. It ruins fantasy. Don't do it. But make jokes and maybe like jokingly threaten it or something like that. That's fine. But all right, moving right along, let's talk about some leaders and feeders from week one of stage two. It was a bit of a crazy week. There was a bunch of roster substitutions, so we're going to have some things to talk about in waiver wire pickups. We've only got two of us. Let's make good use of the time. I almost called you Blevins. A. Smith, start us off with some supports here. One or two of them, however many you want to take.
All right, I'll kick off the first one. Man, this guy finally got there. Finally got his value for the week. I mean, like, Bedosin, drafted in the top round, has not been what his value is. Finally got there. First and first in both scoring formats, 351 and 204. I mean, the guy just finally, maybe London has figured it out. And I guess London playing not goats helps. So I guess that's the solution there. And I'm going to let you take the other two because I can't stand to talk about Boston this week.
I mean, neither can I. AimGod was in second place. He had 318.54 and Raw, and then he had 178.52 in Best. Buck Faustin is all the analysis we're giving you there. He's one of the better flex supports. Continue to play him. What do you want from us? And then the surprise of the week here is Kodak, who had a pretty solidly productive fantasy outing. He came in fourth among flex supports in the Raw scoring, 268.22, and he was fifth in Best, 158.16. Did not even, with his fourth place finish in Best, play all of the maps for his team. He lost six maps, in fact, on the weekend. So despite the strong performance, we'll talk about what you might want to do with Kodak and the Dogman situation a little bit later on. I'm going to start us off in the DPS category as well. I'm going to take the easy one. Really, we just took the 1, 2, and 3 here, so they're all pretty easy. But at the top of the list was Profit. He had 333.12 for Raw and 188.64 for Best. Might not have been the cleanest week for London on the actual standing sheet or scoreboard or whatever you want to call it, but they did, however, show up for us in fantasy, which was great to see. Profit and Bedosin were very early picks. Who rounds out the DPS category here?
Well, the other two, you got Erster, who with Atlanta's doing the way they are doing, I don't understand it because they didn't look all too good. But hey, he put up 297.21, and then that's for fourth in Raw scoring, and 173.20. That's second for Best scoring. Erster's a good player, and I think with Dufresne gone, I think Erster is going to get more of the fantasy points here. For some reason, it just seemed, maybe it's just the meta, but it looks like Erster is going to pick up more fantasy points here. And then Blaze, you know, whatever. I don't even care. 308.35, second, one in Raw, and that's 168.93. That's third in Best. Boston played five maps both rounds, so you know, reverse sweeps in both games, so I guess, you know, going five maps helps. So that's all I really actually want to say about it, because you know what, he's a playable option. He kicked my butt, so I'm just salty.
That's you are, and that's completely fine. And you're also 100% correct. You don't need to go too deep into why the Boston players are on these lists. They played 10 maps. Look back to stage one, week one. Houston played 10 maps. All their guys were at the very tip top of this list. They will remain viable fantasy starters. I saw nothing this week that makes me tear jump or want to like super buy in on Boston from a fantasy perspective. The thing to like about them is that they seem to do love going to map fives. You don't have to love that they win map fives. Just the fact that they get there is good enough for you in fantasy. But yeah, so 100% correct there. And I will fall on the grenade for you. Neither of us want to talk about Boston this week. But in tank, we have to talk about RCK. He was number one on the list. 269.19 amongst tanks in Raw and 159.02, again, first among tanks in Best format as well. He had probably, I think, his best performance in the first match that he had all season on the off-tank role in particular. And it's funny because I thought his Sombra was a little bit lacking in that matchup. Just some situational awareness, right? Like, I'm blanking on who I think it was Atlanta, right? The first match was against Atlanta. Yes. And Erster swapped to the Brigitte and he didn't notice, and this was on control, and like he just walks into the middle of the team and like opens himself up to get locked, and like just absolutely got demolished when he was trying to EMP them, because in his mind Erster was going to be a Pharah up in the sky and he was EMPing everybody else, but in reality if he'd pressed tab he would have seen Erster was on Brig and literally right behind him, and the moment he de-stealthed he just died instantly. So there was some iffiness there, but you don't have to worry about that in fantasy. The fact that he's there playing a DPS role is going to increase his eliminations. It's going to increase his damage dealt overall. It's just going to be great for you in fantasy. The extra maps, it was the perfect storm for RCK, and he capitalized on it, played pretty well, and got himself the number one spot for fantasy. Who are the other two tanks in the leader section?
The other two are Pakpo, which is very interesting because he is a main tank and not an off tank. Yep. So it's rare to see that. He put up 237.87. That's fifth in raw, but he put up 147.17. That's second in best scoring. I mean, Atlanta went to five, and for best scoring especially, that really, really helps. So, and lastly is Fury. So good to finally see these London players getting their value that when you drafted them high. It did take a second stage, but hey, we got there. 255.67, that's second, and then 145.64, that's third. And noticeably, there's another player I think deserves to be on this list, and that'd be Gesture. He's also put up the value that he did. He was, I want to say he was fourth and fifth or something along those lines. He was very close in there. And so the London tanks. Well, I mean, really, it's been all the London players really this week. But it was good to see that main tanks are actually not as bad as hurt as we thought in this meta so far. Seeing main tanks as high scoring as they have been.
Yeah, the Winston, at least for the elite talented main tank, seems to be a little bit more fantasy friendly. We'll have to keep an eye on it. It is a very small sample size. But let's move into the feeder section here. And, well, A-Smith, it's a little bit different than we did for the leaders section at the end of stage one. The one thing you don't have to worry about with the Valiant is their fantasy performance. They don't get wins, but what they do is put up statistics for us. Yes, I said doo doo. So insert your childish giggling poop jokes. In fact, send them to me. I love those. But Izzyaki tops the list here. He was 36th in combined with 77.19, and then again that's 31st in best. They only had the one match, so 77.19 points on the week for Izzyaki. This was our like number one surprise flex support player. This absolutely killed people's matchups this week, I'm certain, as he was locked and loaded. I don't want to offer too much analysis here on this. It's going to be a rough go for the Valiant. I think especially with Izzyaki, you aren't going to want to go to like a Lucio player. So if you don't want to transition your roster into fielding a Lucio player, you probably just need to keep rolling Izzyaki out there. And I think it's safe to say better days are ahead for him. But yeah, it was a bit of a rough go. And then Luffy as well. Much better stat line, though not what you really signed up for or expected. He was 203.87, which was 16th among support players on Raw, but only 100.95. Again, that's 22nd in best format. So he had a little bit rougher of an outing in best. Probably did just fine for you in Raw. But yeah, Shanghai is going to be a little bit up and a little bit down as the meta shifts more towards DPS play. I think you're going to see those guys. They get really, really good DPS players. And the rest of the roster is good, but not crazy, I guess, is kind of my takeaway on
not,
Shanghai.
Not elite.
Right. Yeah. So I think we might see the DPS players occupy a bit more of this scoring than they were able to in the pure goats meta that we had last stage. It is a little bit more of a hybrid with DPS, so I think that might be a trend. He didn't kill you. I think he's still a very good start, but maybe expect a little bit less than you were getting last stage. But don't overreact yet. Wait to see more than 1 week. And who's our third feeder here on the support list?
Look, the third one is Twilight. I mean, he was already the lowest scoring fantasy flex sport, maybe behind Guido. Maybe Guido is above behind him, but he put up 86.46, which is 33rd in he put it same numbers in both, the only one match, which is 33rd in raw and then 25th in best. It wasn't the worst thing ever, but I will say noticeably Slime scored more points than he did, which is very, very interesting when the Lucio scores more than the Zen. Now, I do believe Twilight played more Ana. I believe I saw that there was some Ana play in there, so maybe Ana's doing numbers differently within Zen. It could be an interesting stat to look at. I'm not 100% sure on how that's all going to flow.
It's definitely weighted differently, right? Because it's almost all in healing and not in a mix of healing and damage, which is a little bit rough. But overall, the supports should still skew not towards Lucio. Like, it should still skew to flex support. So it's definitely interesting and something to keep an eye on for sure. The thing about the Vancouver Titans to remember is they 4-0 easy clap the Hangzhou Spark this week. So it was not necessarily much of an opportunity. And that's part of why Twilight's value's been what it's been and why he was like pickable for me as a sleeper, despite his obvious talent, is that the team's just going to beat up on some people so bad. They're not going to.
And Rappel played too, I believe. So that might have also skewed the numbers there. Yeah, I think he played like a map.
It got ugly, and I may have shifted my focus a little more onto Sea of Thieves for that particular matchup. But
I was like, oh, basketball game's on. All
right. Right. Like, I'll watch it, but I'm going to do something else during this particular stomp. But, so nothing to really overreact with there for Twilight, but keep an eye on it. You know what you're getting with Vancouver players, and that's insane talent and then risky usage and risky point production because of their situation, which is that they're super good. On the other side of that coin, we've got another Valiant player to talk about at the top of the DPS category. That's Agilities. This is a trend. They were all pretty bad this week. Agilities was, I think, a top five guy among DPS players. Looks like he's got himself a new DPS duo partner in KSF. More on that in just a minute as we talk about some potential pickups. But Agilities had a rough go. He was 68.63 points this week. He only had the one match. It was 38th in raw and 35th in best. And then another Shanghai player here shows up. We have Diem, 157.19 in raw. That was 29th, and then 95.8 in best, so that was good for 33rd. A rough go for the Shanghai players here overall. I'm trying to remember what the results on their matches were, if that was just a function of stomps.
I think they got 3-1 and 4-0, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so yeah, they were beating up pretty good. It was 3-0 to New York, so they were a little competitive there. But yeah, they're doing a lot of switching with their off tank position, and they need to settle things down, I think, in Shanghai for things to really come together for them. But we will have to wait and see. Who is the last DPS feeder for the week?
The last one is Nene, a guy who was very clear top of the list last first stage. And when I noticed they were rolling him out, I was like, well, maybe Nene's gonna stay where he was, because it looks like he was playing every map. But 223.27 and combined, and then 118.515 and best. That's 15th and 25th. 25th is not really where you want your DPS, one, which I think a lot of people were probably playing him as a DPS one. And that's, DPS 2/flex option, I guess. So, may not have sunk you, but definitely wasn't producing what he was. And I think this new meta showed a little bit of that. I don't know if... And now, they did 3-0 against Shanghai, so that does have a little bit of skew there. So I don't know if it's just that or... And I'm not even sold that Nene is going to be the main DPS this whole meta. Like, there's still a very high chance that we see like Flower or Sabiolbi or somebody else just randomly pop up as this meta continues to evolve. So I would still be very leery of Nene.
Yeah, thankfully, if you took our advice last week, you didn't play him. We said Libero was the only one that was playable, just with the unknown. If we would have known Nene was going to play, we probably would have said to play him. But going into this week, I'm expecting two stomps. If it's raw format, I'm fine playing Nene. If it's best, I would stay away at all costs. And even in raw, if I've got another option where he's playing twice as well and maybe not against Washington and Florida, then I might lean that direction over Nene. But again, he should get back to normal, assuming his playing time stays the same in a couple weeks here. So hang tight for now. Going into tanks, why don't you take the first two here? I'll talk about my boy at the end.
All right. I'll take a space here, kicking it off. 56.10 in both. That's 34th in both. Space was like a top 10, he was top 5 tank. Mm-hmm. And golly, did all these Valiant players just, this new meta, next to the stage, I don't know, man. There's something in the water, and it smells bad. Their fantasy value has taking a nosedive. He probably really hurt a lot of people, and not only in their league, but probably in the unlimited leagues as well. I don't think I played him, but I think a lot of people probably did, knowing. Granted, I mean, he did play two matches, so if you were wise, I probably would have held off, even though Valiant players have proven to score fantasy points. Next was Rhea, put up 70.46 in both. That's 33rd for both of them. And Rhea didn't even play all the matches, which was very interesting. They went with some triple DPS in, I believe, two of their four maps. It was very, very confusing. And if they decide that they're going to try to roll with three DPS often, then I would venture to say Rhea's value in general has taken a nosedive. However, if they're going to go back, Rhea is the clear and obvious off tank for this team. And I don't know if his value, it just depends on what they decide to do. And I'm not even sure they know what they're wanting to do right now.
All right. Well, the last one on the list here is Choi Hyo-bin. Kind of singularly had a bit of a rough go on the San Francisco Shock this week. Playtime was 100% as far as I remember. I don't think he subbed out, so nothing I'm actually worried about, but he had 171.87 in the raw format and 90.13 in best. San Francisco rolled people this weekend, and when that's happening, usually, you know, somebody's popping off. A DPS player somewhere is just going crazy, getting all the kills, and I think that's kind of how I view this. The biggest concern I have about anybody on San Francisco, Choi Hyo-bin included, is that they do tier jump up into the New York and Vancouver tier, and all of a sudden there's matchups where they're just doing this to people on a regular basis. But they were 8-0 in maps this week. Nothing was competitive about anything that happened there. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens with San Francisco. But again, they seem to be trending upward. They look very, very coordinated, just very clean right now. So I expect that to continue. And I continue to be very high on Choi Hyo-bin. I'm glad I planted my flag where I did, A. Smith, because even if he's not like that top three, top five tank player, it was more just about him being like very valuable, and he felt very safe to me. So I'm hoping he keeps off this list and the team continues to do what they're doing. It should be good for him.
We'll see. We'll see. If he's more on this list, then I'll be proven right in the end. And I do know a listener did go through and check all of our preseason rankings, and he did notice that I was significantly higher than you.
Sure. Yeah, I ranked for the season. I ranked for the season, A. Smith. I didn't rank for stage one goats, okay?
We shall see. We shall see.
Assuming he keeps it going. But yeah, that was fun to look at, though his system was terrible, because any system that puts you ahead of me is wrong. Just look at the sleepers last week. That's all I've gotta say. All right.
Okay. No one can predict that Atlanta just went off the rails.
All I know is you're picking all the sleepers last this week, A. Smith. Justify it however you will. Moving on, we've got some waiver wire pickups we want to discuss. The top of the list here is Gray of the Paris Eternal. He's a flex support. He seems to be starting over Hip. I don't know how I feel about that. I thought Hip played really, really good in the opening stage of the season. But now it looks like it's Gray's job, A. Smith. Is there anything to say here, or is this just scoop him up because he's a flex support? Who's available?
I mean, yeah, I would definitely scoop, especially in deeper leagues, scoop him up. If you're in like a very shallow league, you might not necessarily need him. Everybody might have three flex supports that are not in that necessary. But, and I'm not sold that he's going to keep the job, to be honest with you. It does seem new coaching staff, new outlook / new players. And I'm not even saying it's just the stage, because I don't think Hip was bad for would be bad for this stage, so we'll have to see. But yeah, I would probably go ahead and try to slot and pick him up, especially in deeper leagues.
All right, another one we want to talk about is we've got actually a pair of players that let's just be honest, they're the reason you're picking last in the sleeper conversation this week. We've got Kodak and Fred, also known as FRD, also known. as Fried, also known as Ford, from the Atlanta Reign. I'm curious what you think here, both of these players. So Kodak played six of, it was a five mapper and then a four. Okay, so yeah, he played six of the nine maps for the Atlanta Reign this weekend. Lost literally every single one of those maps, but it seems like there's a shift there. And now Fried played every single map for the Atlanta Reign this weekend. Daco did not touch the stage. How are you reacting to this? Do you think these are permanent switches in either case? What are you doing as a fantasy owner?
I don't think they're permanent switches. I would hope that Daco is just sick, and that's the problem. Either that or his English just isn't good enough to come with a mostly English roster. And that's really my guess. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me why Daco's not in, because he was good. And I know that Dogman got a lot of people sick in the Atlanta house last week. So that's a very strong possibility. Kodak is just, I would venture to say, unequivocally not as talented as Dogman. Like in a vacuum as flex support players, I don't think Kodak is as talented. Do I think Kodak is not an Overwatch League talent? No, I don't think that. I think he is, but I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility that I think he's a backup.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kodak to me is a very viable, very strong backup. He plays a safer style than somebody like Dogman does. So maybe he dies a little bit less. Maybe that's something you want in like a replacement player that's coming in the event of an illness. And I kind of hope that's what this is that it was an illness and Daco and Dogman just weren't feeling their best. And hopefully they get back, because I think that's the best form of Atlanta is Dogman and Daco. That said, I'm picking up Kodak because my opinion doesn't matter. It's Seffy's opinion that matters. Kodak played a ton this week. I'm not playing him. I'm not playing Dogman either. But I'm willing to put Kodak on the bottom of my roster and cut him next week if it looks like it was just illness. Okay, great. I think flex supports are that valuable. If this becomes a more permanent switch, there's people out there that think just play Kodak all the time. And maybe they're right. Maybe he does develop and become better than Dogman would be at their peak, you know, whatever their highest ceiling is. Maybe Kodak's is higher. I don't know. I don't have a ton of tape on Kodak. But I've never been impressed with what I've seen of him pre-Overwatch League and now here. And to me, it's a clear case of the team plays better with Dogman. Whether it's comms, whether it's picks, whatever it is that he's doing that Kodak's not, it's just, to me, it's got to be Dogman that plays for this team. Otherwise, I don't know what they're doing out there. But I've been kind of against Kodak from the moment they signed him. I didn't think it was I didn't think it was a player you wanted to like have as your only option. It just seemed very, I don't know, underwhelming to me. He's overperformed what I thought he would do coming in, and it hasn't even been that good though. So I don't know what to do about that. Moving on, there's a couple others. I'm going to lump them together. There's no tie in to these guys, but I just want to be a little mindful on time and push us along here. LH Cloudy is now a starter for the Paris Eternal. KSF seems to have taken Kareev's job as DPS, and Stitch played and Siomansu did not at all for Vancouver. Which one of these guys are you targeting? It doesn't have to be just one of them. Are you going for all of them, or who do you like among that three?
I'll take Stitch number one, LH Cloudy number two, and not KSF. just not taking KSF. Sorry, I'm not sold on the KSF. Valiant looked terrible. Just bad, and maybe Kareev makes him look a little bit better. LH Cloudy, I think in this meta, he's going to be the player. I think he should have been, quite honestly, last meta, because Ben Best is just, I'm not sold that Ben Best is an Overwatch League player. So, but Stitch is top tier. I think in this meta, Stitch is going to thrive. We're not going to see some Minsu hardly at all. We may see Hurag a little bit when Vancouver's just flexing on people. And it's risky, but I do think Stitch is a very ownable player, especially when Vancouver plays closer matches.
Yeah, definitely agree there. Maybe not this week, though. But we we will move along. We'll have a little bit more on why you might want to stay away from Vancouver players in a little bit. Although I do have the matchup against Seoul, so in best, I don't know if I hate it. I think in best, you might be able to get away with it.
It's possible,
Sometimes they play down, too. So even against Houston, I take it back. Feel free to play your Vancouver guys this week. I don't think it's necessarily much of a problem. For whatever reason, in my head, they only had the Houston matchup. And if I had to pick, I'd say they win that one pretty quick. But with the Seoul matchup and the possibility of them playing down a little bit, I think Vancouver's fine.
I agree.
All right, we're going to move into the who do I start conversation. No bye weeks this week. Is that accurate? I didn't actually check it. Okay. Nope.
I'm 95%.
Count down the list here and make sure we got to 20.
Yeah. I'll count.
Yeah, I'll read off the teams that do have two matchups this week. That is the Paris Eternal, the Florida Mayhem, the New York Excelsior, the Washington Justice, the Vancouver Titans, Dallas Fuel, LA Gladiators, Toronto Defiant, Philly Fusion, LA Valiant, Atlanta Reign, Guangzhou Charge. And was that a thumbs up? We're good? All 20? Yep. Okay. Yep. Everybody is in, so no bye weeks to worry about this week. We're not going to go matchup by matchup through it. Me and Volumel did that a little earlier. If you want to know whether or not we think it's close, lopsided, anything like that, check out the flagship show. But we do want to talk about some potential five maps, some matches that we think have a real, real good shot to go the distance here. It's a little bit light on those this week, so maybe in your unlimited leagues, really focus on these three games in particular. But, A. Smith, hit us with the first one. Who do you think's going to five this week?
I'll take Dallas versus Toronto. That's one of my one I'm really, really looking, obviously, because I am a Dallas fan. Mm-hmm. And Dallas has not played, so we haven't seen them in this meta. But they have watched Toronto play twice, and watching a team play, they're going to have probably an upside of knowing their strats. And meanwhile, Toronto is not going to be able to know anything about Dallas's strats for this meta. So I like, even though I don't think Dallas is probably as talented of a team as Toronto, especially with IM37 jumping here into this team and, you know, slowly adapting. I think Toronto's probably a little more talented. I think Dallas has the tactical advantage. And with that, I think it really evens up their play. And I venture to say there's going to be a five mapper either way. Hopefully Dallas.
Yeah, the other one I think that's really worth mentioning, or one of the other ones I think is worth mentioning here, is the Philadelphia Fusion going against the Toronto Defiant. Toronto, I think, would be a clear favorite winner here if Stellar hadn't retired and they were rolling with the same roster. They're bringing in IM37, who I think is a great pickup this week. I think you should run out there. We didn't mention him in the waiver wire pickups. I think he's another one. We saw what Stellar was able to do from that spot. I don't think Stellar was like a world beater talent or anything like that. He was a very good player. IM37 though was in like open division a month ago. He played like one match in open division, got signed to second win, played one match there, and then now he's in Overwatch League. Something's going on with this kid. He's clearly something is there, and either he was just
savant,
very available and just very ready to be picked up, and so Toronto knew they knew they didn't want to roll with Asher too much, and they just wanted to bring somebody in. Maybe that was the case, and this guy, you know, proved some level of adequacy. But I think the more likely thing is he just pops off in scrims. And it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a great stage player or anything like that. But behind the scenes, he's clearly got something mechanical going on that allows these teams to feel comfortable to elevate him from relative obscurity so fast. Toronto has built a better team than I think we all pegged them to have had to begin with. So maybe we're all just like assuming everybody's Boston and like, oh, they were good. They made good signings before. They'll just always have good players in the wings. They're just always signing good people. It doesn't have to be the case, but I thought he looked very, very good. And I don't think he had even one scrim with Toronto in the first week. There was some issues, some room for improvement for certain, but it's only going to get better over time. So I really like him as a speculative ad. And yeah, I think your Toronto players are great plays this week. it probably would take a lot of convincing to get you to not use them because of how good they were for you in stage one. But keep an eye on that. Philly as well. You can kind of move them up a little bit. The other one here is Shanghai versus Chengdu. Chengdu is just that consummate wild card. And I personally have Shanghai winning this one, or no, Shanghai losing this one in kind of convincing fashion. I think I actually picked it as a 4-0, but I said at the time when I did it, I'm like, this is just me wanting to like root for the innovators and the, you know, the fun team a little bit. Shanghai could easily keep that one very, very close. And right now you're just looking at them as both teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack. Anything to really add on Shanghai versus Chengdu?
Is Chengdu what we all wanted Shanghai to be last year? Because that's how I feel like they really are, like as a team. They should have just been that crazy wild card team Shanghai should have been.
I mean, they should have gone to that, but Chengdu's so much better because they rolled out that way.
Exactly.
And they're like, Amen can play Reinhardt, so they're like week four. They're like, let's show them the Reinhardt composition. They'll never see this coming.
It's amazing.
They're playing 4D chess, and they're 17 moves ahead of everybody at all times. They're just so much fun. I don't even like them at all, but I love them. Like, I just love watching them, but they're nothing to me, but they're everything to me at the same time. I have a weird relationship with Chengdu.
I have a theoretical question. Why doesn't everybody just embrace their own style? Like I get it, like, meta is better, but, like, we've noticed that Chengdu can do random stuff and work.
Because they're sheep.
Everybody's sheep.
It's in their head that the meta has to be solved and that you have to conform to it. And to me, that's insanity, right? Like,
Smith, play to your strengths.
We're sports fans. We know. What is the NFL all about right now? It's just everything. The quarterback. Spread. Pass the football. Spread the offense out.
RPOs.
Right. But at the same time, what did the Tennessee Titans do last year, right? Like, they just gave Derrick Henry the ball, ran it down people's throats at the end of the season, and beat teams they weren't supposed to beat. You have to do what you do well in order for anything else to matter, and do work within the confines of the metagame. And Chengdu, I think, does that, but you do not have to play the metagame to find success, especially in a format. Maybe you have to when it's weekend tournaments, right, A. Smith? When you just need to go out there and win that one tournament and spike that. This is Overwatch League. If you need to put together, if you need to just scrape by on a 3-4 stage because you can't play the meta, but you can play dive really good and beat up on some teams that you're just mechanically better than, do what you need to do. Teams shouldn't be scraping and clawing and playing things they're terrible at just because it's supposed to be good right now. If you can't do it, you can't do it. And I'm hoping we get to that point at some point, but I have no faith in that for Overwatch.
One day we're going to have, one day we're going to have coaches that coach and aren't sheep. Like, and I know it's like seems like a real big slam on all the coaches right now, but to be honest, like, one day these coaches will see, like, you know what, we just need to play to who we are. Like, London should have just played dive and they wouldn't have had a losing record stage one. I can almost guarantee you.
I agree with you. I think coaches right now are Overwatch coaches. They're not team coaches. They don't understand the players. They don't understand that it doesn't matter what's best. It matters what we do best, what gives us the best chance to win. And if that is to do what Chengdu did and never conform to that metagame to begin with and just say, we don't have it. We tried it. We scrimmed on it. We sucked at it. I think we're better off trying this. I think more teams need to try that, do that. Trust themselves. Trust their own analysis. Don't try to fit a mold that somebody else set for you.
That's it.
Yeah, the metagames change because teams don't do that. That's how GOATs got here, because there was a tier 3 team that said, well, we can't do that, but we can sure run a bunch of these tanks at people and surprise them. So it worked, and it became good. There's no reason that can't happen in the top tier of play either.
One day.
Moving on, we got some potential oofs. There's not going to be much analysis needed on these. A. Smith, talk to us about some of these here. Just take half of them.
Okay, New York's going to crush everybody. They're playing Washington and Florida. So New York versus the two joke teams in the league. Well, okay, sorry, Valiant's not in there. All right, anyways, New York's playing Washington and Florida. They're Washington may catch a map if they're lucky, if New York decides to flex on them, which is a non-zero possibility that New York just styling on these teams and throws out random players. We could see Flower. Who knows? So that's the only possibility there. And then, do you want me to take this one for you?
We're going to say the same thing regardless.
Okay. Vancouver's going to destroy Houston. I'm sorry, but
there's multiple. I'm high on Houston. There's multiple tiers separating them. Houston might steal Koff. I honestly want Houston to show nothing. I want them to put in like Arhan and like, I want them to like play backups and I just want them to like play Ryan Goats, something, you know, like keep the nobody knows what we're going to do this meta going. Like if play your hearts out on King of the Hill, right? Do your best to get that first map. I think that's their best chance to take a map off of Vancouver. And if you win it, show your strategies. Fine. Go out there and get it. They've gone to five against New York last season. New York was a much better team than them then. Surprises have happened. It's not insane. But these aren't even like the best maps for Houston on the stage. And it's not likely to go well for Houston here by any stretch of the, you know, stretch of the imagination. I just want them to just throw it. Just
do you want, want Bastion Symmetra comps? Cause that's what I want in this match.
Sure.
Let's see it.
Give Bastion me anything Symmetra. Unless they want to run Bastion Symmetra in weeks three through five of the stage, then absolutely under no circumstances show that. But I sure hope that's not the plan. So yeah, let's see it.
please be the plan.
The other potential oofs here are the San Francisco Shock, who just look super, super impressive right now, going against the Guangzhou Charge, who still look lost in a meta that was maybe supposed to favor them a bit.
What are they doing? Like, they just look terrible.
I don't know, but when they figure it out, hopefully they'll clue us in, but I don't know that they've figured it out yet. It's so crazy. Bad. They were one of those teams. They were another Paris, right? They started super, super strong, and then now we don't even really know what they are, but they've changed less than Paris has. It looks like, sort of looks they like they're not trying they either. Who knows? Guangzhou, get it together. And then the last potential oof here, it's sad. This was like the highlight of season one, the battle for LA Gladiators versus Valiant. Gladiators appear to be a good to very good team. The Valiant are a train wreck. So, don't expect
Valiant,
too much.
Valiant 3-1, that's what I'm doing. Picking right there.
3-1.
Surely just based off of crowd energy.
Man, I hope they're competitive within the maps for the sake of the crowd. Because I do want that to continue to be super exciting and fun.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Valiant just goes like pure crowd energy, like absorbs everything and just channels all into this one match. Like there is a non-zero chance that happens. There's also a significantly higher chance that Gladiators just do what they're supposed to do in 4-0.
Also, I'm pretty sure, I'm just going to say it, I'm pretty sure KSF's bad. So let's just...
He's not that good.
Either put Kareev back in or trade him to Houston to go back to being a flex support or something, or trade him somewhere that needs a flex support. There's a couple teams, like Washington could take him and probably be considerably better off for it. Like, I think the guy even wants to be on flex support. I don't know. Those are the teams that have, like, very upgradable...
Dallas could use a flex support. Oh no. Oh, you're talking, who are you talking about? Kareev?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were talking about KSF, like trade KSF, and I was like, okay, sure, why not?
No, but yeah, I mean, KSF might be an option in Dallas, but yeah, he's not going anywhere. The Valiant like him, and I kind of like that they're using him now. Okay, season's gone, let's see what we've got in him, make a decision. And I think that's kind of the attitude here. He's clearly shown something in scrims in the past to get his spot, to get where he is, but it's never translated on stage. So give him a bunch of stage time, see if you can get it to materialize, and if you can't, then you know, going into season three, he's got to go.
The fans like Kareev better, though, to be honest. Like, Kareev tends to be a fan favorite.
Got a cooking show with Agilities.
He does, and he's
Hashtag gamer snacks.
Yeah, he's good. I actually really like what they're doing with they're probably, you know what? That's probably what they're doing. They're investing too much into like fan reach out, and they're just not actually playing Overwatch. That's what I'm convinced.
I think the only time they won anything this season was when Custa did Zoe's makeup on YouTube. That was, I think, the only time the Valiant have given me something to watch that I've enjoyed all season. So let's not have them pull back on their
buy Custis News Network.
Let's not have them cut back on their content generation here. That's what's going well for the Valiant right now. Let's lean into that. Just leave people off stage. Like, just field four people because you're making a YouTube video somewhere at this point.
That would be so funny. Like, how memeable would that be? They're like, oh, sorry, our other guys are
right now. Can't do it.
The
Sorry,
video is, can the worst team in the league win a map with only four players? Like, I want to see that YouTube video.
Maybe if they're playing Washington.
Whoa, sorry.
I don't know. Didn't we see that exact matchup play? Who did Washington beat?
Florida.
Florida, that's right. All right.
Lol.
Oh man, I'm dreading that matchup. I'm dreading the either of those matchups, Florida versus LA. Like, I don't even want to see them. All right, well, let's move on though. We've got some sleepers to talk about, and as we alluded to earlier, I mean, from in the future, a sweep like this. I'm not trying to claim it now, or I would have done it at the top of the show. A sweeper.
Okay. I'm not buying that.
We'll try to figure out a fun word for it. But a sweep in the future of all three categories is a Lord Bet win.
We said that last week. However, you're not including the Blevins in this, and no, I'm not sold that Blevins didn't beat you in one of those.
He did beat me in one of them. He's also a part-time host, and it's just for the sake of it being fun, if I beat you 3-for-3 across the board and Blevins isn't here to ruin it, that's a Lord Bet win, and the same goes vice versa. Fine. So, all right.
Can I change my picks? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm probably not going to change this one. Okay! Gotcha.
All right, but let's go into things and start him off with the supports. Twilight might have been in the feeders list, but at least he was on the stage, so it was good enough to beat Dogman, though not by much. Gray is going to be my support sleeper of the week. I mean, he's new. I'm willing to use him. The usage was 100% over hip, so I'm willing to take that chance. This is a situation where, you know, and there's no bye week, so you'd have to, I'm trying to think of who you'd even have, right? Like, maybe your supports are like Luffy and Rockus and Jayhong or something like that. So you need a second one. I would be willing to pick up and start Gray this week, assuming he's going to keep that starting job, just so that I have somebody that's playing twice in Raw or something like that. So yeah, give me Gray. I think he was fine. He did a solid performance. I'm not sold he's better than Hip, but for right now, it appears to be his job. So I'll take him. A Smith, who do you got?
Well, for the main reason that I actually want to beat you this time, I'm not throwing. I'm taking Massa. Look, all the Atlanta players failed me. Massa would not have failed me if I had picked him. And they're playing Washington and the Valiant this week. Atlanta is going to win. Hopefully they don't. I mean, they're not amazing this. I venture to say they're not as good as they were last stage. So there's a chance that Washington takes a map or so, and it could go to five. Who knows? So I'm going to take Massa because I think I'm actually going to beat you, because I don't know if Gray's going to play.
Gray's going to play, and that's your only chance. That's your only chance here. You just said easy clap wins over the Valiant and the Justice are your reason for wanting to play a Lucio player?
Paris plays Florida. Calm down.
So there's one. There's one lopsided matchup. Just saying. But the flex support in a stomp should do better than the Lucio.
Dallas is going to flex on him.
I'm not even sure that's bad for that's bad for Gray. We'll have to wait and see. Time will tell. Flex support player is going to win. Anyways, going into the tank conversation. Again, this was – I was going up against a big fat goose egg. You took Daco. That backfired as hard as humanly possible. Hot Buzz 110 points was more than enough. I'm going to the well that Blevins went to, and I think this was the category he would have won had he been here. I'm taking Elsa from the off tank here for Chengdu. I love what Chengdu's doing right now. They seem very forward thinking. They're very aware of what's going on in the meta. As I just double check to make sure Elsa is in fact from Chengdu, since I've said it like three times. Okay, I get them mixed up in my head every single time. But the one that's the
Giga Chad. He's not the Giga Chad. That's Aumang.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll we'll move on. I didn't get it wrong. I wasn't losing my mind, so I don't have to justify anything. Listen, Chengdu looks like a strong team right now. They do have some Only the single match against Shanghai, but we think there's a decent chance it's close. I think even if it's like the 4-0 win, I kind of like hopingly predicted, I think they should be competitive within the maps. I can't imagine it's like a really, you know, strong blowout like what Vancouver did last week or anything like that. So I'm taking a little bit of a chance going with the one mapper or the one match player, but we do use best, not raw, for this. So that's why. Who do you got, A-Smith?
I have Finzi because Paris are going to play very close matches. And look, Finzi plays Soldier 76 in this meta for some reason. So actually, because he was a Soldier 76 player with seven snakes, is that what the six snakes maybe? I don't know. Do you remember?
I think it was seven, but I can't remember.
It was some number of snakes. Anyways, he was a Soldier 76 player back then, and hey, he's playing back on what his heart wants him to. Not all the time, but look, I think it's gonna be fun, and with him not playing D.Va the whole time, 76 is a good way to get up a bunch of eliminations and a lot of damage. So yeah, you can just spray with 76, kind of like, you know, get in on everybody, so rack up those elims.
All right, moving into the DPS category, we've both got a couple players that, man, if the meta had been a little different in stage one, or if, you know, I'm 37 had actually been in the league in stage one, maybe these wouldn't have been accessible to us for sleepers, but that's part of the fun. That's why we define rules for these. They're not inside the top 20 right now. I'm taking I'm 37 from Toronto. His situation feels very safe to me, especially for a player that's just joining his new team and just in his first week of scrims with them. They used him a lot for somebody they hadn't used in the first week. That tells me they really hope to use him over Asher, and there's no reason to expect, I think, him not to at least play the lion's share of games. And we know the situation he's going into. That's a team that's performing well, that's been very good for fantasy, that doesn't blow people out and doesn't get blown out ever. They're always competitive in all their games. And I like his skill set. I like his hero pool. From everything I've seen from him so far, I'm buying into the hype, if for no other reason than I'm rooting for the team. And I like doubling down in fantasy on the team I root for, just to make it extra sweet when they win and make me extra salty when they lose. So A-Smith, who do you got here for DPS?
I'm going to take the Shadowburn. He's honestly one of my favorite players, and that's not even a little biased is why I'm picking him. I think in this meta with him playing Pharah and, I think he played, did he play a little Junkrat? Not 100% sure, but look, players like that get a lot of spam comp, and he's really, really good at Pharah if you haven't noticed. So I venture to say he's going to get some points. If they would just play him the whole time and not play Danier, you know, that would be awesome, because honestly, I was not impressed with Danier. I think Shadowburn was the better option. I think soon Shadowburn is the best DPS option for Paris, and it should have been from the get-go. But, you know, who am I? So
I've been screaming that since the offseason and being told by our Contenders fans that how crazy wrong I am about Danier and all these guys. And I'm just like, we got a lot of tape on Shadowburn to be very, very confident in his abilities. The hero pool is the issue there, so it's good they have options to go to. But I'm with you. Play your best players and figure out the rest when you know what they can't do. And he hasn't been playing and he hasn't been on the stage, and the team's too new for them to know for sure what they can't do yet. So I'm with you. It should be him all the time. But that's going to wrap up the show. We're going to skip the mailbag and remembering the Bellman this week, as we are getting pretty close to the hour and we'd probably just go over. Also, I've just been talking for a very long time. The flagship ran long and I'm fatigued. So our apologies for that. If you do have any questions, please submit them to us in the fantasy mailbag section of the Discord. You can always join our Discord if you're new, discord.me/highnoonpodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter @highnoonpodcast. This show specifically is @HNP_foulplay. I am @HNPDeathblow on Twitter. A Smith, where can everybody find you?
Find me @ASmith_OW on Twitter. And you may not find me for the next 2 weeks because baby's being born. But hey, if I'm here next week, my wife will be very upset because she's still pregnant.
the Twitter better get pictures is all we, that's the only thing we need to hear.
100% pictures,
yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah, it's your first time becoming a dad. It's the only time anybody will ever care about baby pictures. So you got to get the most out of it. Second time being a dad, the magic's gone, A. Smith. We're not going to care anymore. But this is the first time. So
I won't care either.
We'll get excited for you. And then we've just got to turn this child into a professional Overwatch League player.
That's the goal.
Becomes our mission as soon as it pops out of the oven. That's the plan. So, best of luck to you. If we don't get to talk to you before that goes through, sleep. If my brother's taught me anything, it's just spam sleeping 100% of the time while you can, it won't matter. You're going to be,
my wife's not sleeping. So I'm not sleeping. Unfortunately, she's like, it's rolling.
When the baby gets here, it can watch itself while you guys nap.
That's it. Good thing my parents live like right down the road. So, hey, grandparents all the time. All
right, guys. Well, Blevins should be back next week. He had a bit of a family emergency, so you should see him back, even if we are short. A. Smith, really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Again, send us your fantasy questions, Twitter, Discord, wherever you'd like. We will see you guys all next week. Have a great week 2 of stage 2.
He got his boots and he put on his hat. He threw the coin away that same day. It's in his past and he's not looking back. He says, finding mine now, God's my way. He's not good, but he sure ain't bad. He'll make amends for the sins that he has. He says, I'll change the world one bullet at a time till I find mine.